Welcome back. We're so glad you're listening and engaging with us. This series is titled Exponential. So hold on to your hats because this series is the vision series of 2024. God gave us a prophetic word of exponential growth, not just for the church, but for all of us. So be encouraged and listen in.
Amen. All right, I'm going to preach. Next week, it's 9 o'clock and 10:45. 9 o'clock and 10:45. For those of you who like that hour and 15-minute service, how many love that hour and 15-minute service? Come on, come on. You confess it. You like it. You like it when the pastor has to put the brakes on, you know, right at 10:15. Yeah, it's not today. All right. Love you guys. I love this church. I love you so much, I'm telling you. So this year is a year of exponential. How many have been tracking with us in the 10 days of prayer? How many? Please make a comment, do something, go there. It's so easy to do. A couple days ago, I put on again the prophetic word from Rob DeLuca and just showed you that whole exponential thing that we're going to experience in 1 year what we normally experienced in 10. That's crazy. That's crazy. But we're living in that right now. That is happening right now. But we're going to experience just the fullness of that and the manifestation of that in the year to come. So we're going to start a series going into the new year called Exponential, because 2024 is going to be a year we're going to experience to the measure of 10, the blessing of God in every way. I tell you, miracles, you used to see some miracles, we're going to see lots and lots of miracles. You used to see some healings, you're going to see lots and lots of healings. You used to see some people come to Jesus, we're going to see lots and lots of people. We used to have some people went to next steps, we're going to have lots and lots of people went to that. We used to see some people coming to the altar and getting delivered and stuff, we're going to have lots and lots of people coming. So we're declaring, it says if you agree, it says trust in the Lord and you know, because he's faithful, but it says if you trust in the prophets, you'll be successful. So when the prophetic word comes, if we trust that, if we lean into that, if we do a warfare with it, if we act on that word, we're going to be successful. So we're not just going to hear it, we're going to say, well, we'll see what happens. Let's see what happens. I'm not standing in the bushes. I'm jumping in with both feet and saying, let's do it. I'm going to act on the word of God. I'm going to mix my faith with it. And we're going to see God do a big thing because this city needs Jesus. Settle down. Come on, shout me down. It's good. Deuteronomy 6, 10 to 11. I was reading this the other day. I was like, wowzers. This is good stuff. You ready? So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land, when he brings you into your inheritance, when he brings you into the fullness of what he is. So it is that when you come into the land to give you, say give. I tell you, the gifts of God are awesome. Listen, he's going to give you a large and beautiful cities that you did not build. He's going to give me opportunities. He's going to bless me. He's going to bless my hands. The things I build are going to prosper. No, he's going to give you things you didn't build. He's going to give you stuff you didn't build. Your inheritance is you're going to come into a land that's already prepared for you. You're going to walk into things that are already finished, because the goodness of God is you're not going to have to build it. You're just going to move into it and you're going to experience the blessing of God. That's not my word. That's the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord says this, look, I'm going to give you houses full of all good things which you did not fill. He's going to fill your house. He's going to fill your house with good things. He's going to do stuff that you didn't do. His blessing is going to be on your life, and you're going to see things happen in your life that you never expected. It's going to be a sign and a wonder. It's going to be a revelation of the favor of God. You didn't do it. It wasn't something you worked for. It's the blessing of God manifest on your life. Settle down. Man, I'm telling you, you're going to hewn out wells you didn't dig, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. That's pretty good, isn't it? Man, I'd like just to receive blessing on what I did sow. I would just like to see a harvest of what I have done. But I'm reading that going, man, I'm going to experience the blessing of God on areas where, you know, the wealth of the righteous, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. You know, I go on the airplane, I walk through first class, say, you working for me, you working for me, you working for me. High five over here, you're doing a good job. There is a wealth transfer from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And God's ready to move in a big, big way, amen. Amen. Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So you have all these promises in Deuteronomy, all these promises that you're going to be fruitful, you're going to experience blessing. I mean, when you go in the land, there's 31 kings in the land. You're going to step into the land, there's 31 kings there, but you're going to drive them all out. And I'm going to go before you. I'll send hornets, and we're going to drive those people out. And they have built all these things, and they've done it just for you. And I tell you, if that's the old covenant, and that's good stuff, the new covenant is better. God wants to do that stuff in our hearts and lives today. God wants to be the unexplainable effect to your life. Coming to church and serving Jesus isn't trying to be a better person. I'm not trying to make better people of you. He's trying to make you brand new. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to do things that are out of sight. He's trying to put things on you that the only explanation is, look what God did. There's no explanation for what's going on in your life except the blessing of God. Your life is sourced by Out of This World Incorporated. Amen. In those days, there was no king. So they got to a place where they got complacent. They got stubborn. It said, when you get into the land, don't forget. Don't forget, but they forgot. And the religious system got complacent. They got to a place where there's Eli and his sons, and he named his one son Fist Fight and the other one Serpent. So these were the pastors. Hello, Pastor Serpent Mouth. Hello, Pastor Fist Fight. And it was just contention. Nobody got along. Nobody did anything. Eli just got big and fat. And there was no consensus. There was no concentrated effort to give glory to God. The glory of God was not guarded, and it wasn't cared for. And this is where we are. And there was a woman named Hannah. Say Hannah. And Hannah names Grace. And Grace, we enter into 1 Samuel, and you see right away there was a guy. And these people are from nowhere. They're not important. They're of no significant lineage. But out of nowhere comes this guy, and he's got two wives. Now, the first wife, he loved her. And he even says he loved her more than the other wife. He favored her more than the other wife. But she couldn't produce children, so he married somebody else, and she produced children. He didn't love her as much, but he married her because she could produce kids. Now, Hannah, if she lived in the guy's home and wasn't producing kids, but they loved each other, that would be fine. She'd be broken up about not being able to have children. But how horrible is it when not only are you not having children, he brings another woman into the scene and she starts popping out kids like nothing? This is a sensitive area. It really, really is. Some of the greatest heroes in my life are people who want children, and they struggle with that. And they're my greatest heroes that they contend for these things. But here's a woman who desperately wants to have a child, and the promise is that you will be fruitful. The promise is that none of God's people will ever experience barrenness. So she's living in a place where the promise isn't manifesting, and my husband, he goes and marries somebody else, and this woman, she is provoking her. Look what the word says. It says, so it was year by year they would go down to the house of the Lord, and she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and she did not eat. Peninnah, her name is Peninnah. It means pearl. And her name is because to make a pearl, you got to be aggravating. And the pearl inside of that shell is because of something that's aggravating. And I tell you, when you got somebody who's doing something, there's a promise manifest in their life, and you look at that, that's aggravating. And then it's not just aggravating. You brought this person in the home, you're watching that go on, but they're mocking you. I tell you, church, we're not going to be mocked anymore. The church isn't going to be small. The church is going to be powerful. The church isn't going to be a small influence on the earth. We're not going to be a byword. The church is going to be something that people are going to respect. The church is going to be a place of incredible influence in the earth. The church is going to be the highest mountain of all mountains. I tell you, and every nation will flow to it. I tell you, grace will build it. Grace will do it. Grace will speak to every other mountain. And grace will rise with incredible influence in the nations. Thus saith the Lord. So I'm prophesying to you with my eyes wide open, and I'm declaring the word of the Lord over this church this year. So it was year by year she was provoked. But you know, when you get provoked, you know, you're not going to, sometimes you get provoked, and sometimes you're going along and life seems good, but you get provoked. You get stirred up. And sometimes, you know what? The Lord will let you get into a place of discomfort because he wants you to get restless. He wants you to get annoyed. He wants you to get aggravated because he wants you to cry out, this is enough. I'm not living like this anymore. I want results. I want the promise of God. I want to be fruitful. I want to see what God has promised us in full expression and full manifestation. I don't want to be a gathering where we do a little lesson on Sunday. I want to be a place where the Holy Ghost is in full manifestation and we experience His goodness every week, where people are set free, where the ambulance doesn't go to the hospital. It comes to Impact Church and says, you're going to be better off here. Hey! Yay! Man, you a quiet church today. Come on, holler at your neighbor and say, hey! That's right. Don't make me shout you down. I'm telling you, boy, oh boy. She wept. She was provoked and she wept. Hannah, Grace, is going to give birth to a new generation. She gave birth to Samuel, and Samuel was the Lord hears and answers. We're giving birth right now to a generation that the Lord hears and answers. We're giving birth to a generation that they're not going to be a generation of delay and frustration and hope so, but it's going to be a generation that walks in an expectation that what I speak, God watches over and He will perform it. Amen. We don't prophesy stuff and hope it'll happen and have to apologize later. We're going to speak the word of the Lord, and He's going to watch over our word to bring it to pass. Because He's going to raise up a Samuel generation, a generation that's aligned with the voice of God, that has led people of God into a revolution of kingdom life. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1, she gave birth after her groaning, after her burden and crying out to God. The priest turned to her and said, favor is upon you, you have what you ask. She was sad no more. She went home with her husband and she gave birth to Samuel. But she promised the Lord, I'm going to give Samuel to you. And Samuel, when he grew, the boy ministered before the Lord and before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare. Now you might think the word of the Lord is rich and powerful today. I'm telling you, it's rare. And it's hardly ever truthful. And it hardly ever comes to pass. But there's a word going to come forth now, which God's going to watch over. He's going to raise up holy men and women and go through the land in power. And people are going to fear and have respect because their words come to pass. So you can say amen right there. I'm telling you, this is the word of the Lord. I'm prophesying to you right now. A massive shift in what's going on. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. You see, what happens is, we'll watch even religious communities grow, and they'll build children. You'll start saying, wow, that's amazing. And sometimes the prophetic communities, the communities that believe for glory, believe for passion, believe for a powerful demonstration of God, they stay small and they struggle. You know, but that's not going to be the way it is anymore. Those groups are going to start to be fruitful. And the people are going to cry out, there must be more than this. There must be more than a couple of songs and a little, you know, moral lesson on Sunday. There's got to be more. I want to experience the presence of God. And the presence-based churches are going to explode with a revelation of the glory of God, because this generation wants authenticity. They're not going to go and say, Jesus is your healer. Hallelujah. We're all sick. Jesus will deliver you. We're all in bondage poor. If God is God, why do you look so miserable? And an authentic generation isn't going to tolerate religion without power. And the Bible says, if you got a form of godliness that denies the power thereof, it says, have nothing to do with them. And there's a generation going to get stirred up right now. There's a song being stirred up in their spirit. There's a voice in their heart, and they know there's more. And they're not going to settle for lame little arguments of why God isn't showing up. They want the presence of God, the veracity, the authenticity, and a demonstration of God. Hey! 1 Samuel 3:19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord did not let none of his words fall to the ground. Whose words? Samuel's words. He grew in favor with people, in favor with the Lord, and when Samuel spoke, God paid attention. When Samuel spoke, God watched over his word to perform it. Let me give you another verse out of Jeremiah 15:1. It's completely different context, but look how God uses Samuel. He says, then the Lord said unto me, even if Moses or Samuel stood before me, my mind could not be changed toward these people. Why did he do that? Why did he invoke their names? Because Moses got in the face of God. God said, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to wipe them out and start over with you. And Moses said, God, that's a bad plan. I mean, what would the nations think if you brought us out of Egypt just to kill us in the wilderness? I mean, it's a bad plan. I mean, we can work with these people. And it says God repented. God changed his mind. There's a couple of times that Moses got in the face of God and he turned things around. He had influence with God. Isn't that amazing? And someone else who had influence with God was Samuel. Because when Samuel spoke, God had to pay attention. But here's God. God saying, I don't care if Samuel or even Moses showed up right now. I'm not changing my mind this time. I'm really annoyed. And that's why he invoked their names. But what I want you to see in this, the lesson I want you to see, is God honored Samuel's word. Listen, God is asking us, would you come aside? Would you set yourself apart in this season? Would you become acutely aware of my voice? And I love what Wayne said, because you put on those shoes. You got shoes for every situation, and these shoes are meant for walking. They are the shoes of the gospel of peace that are going to take you to bring breakthrough and peace in every circumstance and situation. And God wants to put, whenever God wants to change the world or change a situation, he puts a word on somebody's mouth. And God is asking you, will you be my mouthpiece today? Will you take my word? Will you let my word in your mouth be declared over the nations of the world today? John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. So that's what Jesus said. Why did he come? That we might have life. And not just life, but abundant life, overflowing life. Are you living in that? Are you walking in that every day? That's our message to the world. Come, Jesus, come and align with him. Come and acknowledge that your sins are forgiven and that you've been reconciled with your Father and walk in the unbelievable flow of the blessing of God. Well, our lives got to start to look like that. They really, really do. So Jesus, let me flip all the way down. I'm going to go all the way down to, let's go to capacity. What I'm talking about today is capacity. What I want to do going into 2024 is change your capacity. Say capacity. You see, go to that picture. Oh, well, let me read that for you. The maximum amount of something that contain the ability, the power to do, the experience to understand. I want your capacity to change today. Today. What you've been able to do, I want it to increase. I want your capacity to go off the chart. I want, you know, you used to be able to do this much and see this much of a manifestation. I want your capacity to shift. That's what I want. So here's a couple pictures right here. I don't want you to be the little hose anymore. I want you to be the big hose. I don't want you to be, hey, everybody, trickle, trickle. I want you, oh, you're back. I want you to walk into a place and you're a fire hose of the glory of God everywhere you go. All right, give you another one here. It's like there's a little light bulb, there's a big light bulb. It's all about capacity. One gives off some light, but the other gives off a lot of light. So I want you to be powerful. I want your capacity to be stretched, all right? So look, I want to look at, let's go all the way to Luke 5:11. In Luke 5:11, just going to read it, talk to you, tell you what it's about. Here's Jesus, and Jesus was about to call some disciples, which means I'm about to bring people into a relationship with him, partner with me in my purposes in the earth. So Jesus wants to pick some partners. So what he does is he goes down by the lake there, and he sees some guys that are cleaning their nets. Say, cleaning their nets. Why are they cleaning their nets? Because we were fishing all night, we caught nothing, but you know what? We don't just throw our nets aside and say, let's go have a nap. I'm cleaning my nets. I might not have caught something there, but I'm going to catch something. And I'm cleaning my nets because I have an expectation I'm going to catch some. So anyways, they're cleaning their nets, and Jesus comes down. What's he doing? What's he doing? He's looking for followers. He's looking for disciples. So he goes over to Peter and says, hey, could I borrow your boat for a minute? And he says, push out your boat a little bit. So he pushes the boat out, and Jesus teaches from his boat. So here's Peter. Peter was willing to let Jesus be the captain over some of his experience. A little. Say a little. You know, when you trust God with a little, he'll trust you with more, and you'll get a lot. But he tested just a little. Hey, can I borrow your boat? And he preached. And what did he preach on? He preached on the seed and the sower. He spoke to them, and his word, when Jesus spoke, his words were powerful. People who came and heard Jesus said, man, there's nobody like him. He speaks with authority. And what was he teaching on? He was teaching on 30, 60, and 100-fold increase. Now, that's fold. That means it folds over itself. That means it's exponential. 30 to the exponent of 30 to the exponent of 60 to the exponent of 100. And he's telling them about this type of increase. He's telling them about living in that kind of life where you have harvest that is unprecedented being manifest in your life. And that's what he says. He's saying, come to me and I tell you, life is going to change. Life is exponentially going to change and you're going to have a capacity like you've never known. And he's teaching that and they're watching him and listening to him teach. And then when he's finished teaching, he says, you guys jump in the boat, go out there, cast out your nets for a haul. Cast out your nets for a haul. So they're like, what? I mean, it's the middle of the day. We just washed our nets. If we throw our nets in again, we got to wash them again. And you want us to throw it out for a haul? Oh, my God. And yet, here's what Peter said. Yet at your word, at your word. God's given us a word. And when he gives you a word, you have a responsibility to act on that word. And you see, Peter, this carpenter don't know nothing about fishing. I know you don't fish during the day. I know you don't catch anything during the day. But at your word, I'm going to do it. And so he went out and he threw out his nets. And you see, he went from empty nets to net-breaking increase. His vision completely shifted. Jesus wanted to call a people to himself who had not a vision of empty nets, but had a vision of exponential increase. God wanted to blow their minds. He wanted to take away the empty net mindset, and he wanted to blow their minds with net sinking, boat sinking blessing that is out of this world. And see, that's what Jesus had to do when he was going to call those disciples. And that was the greatest catch of their lives. And you know what? At that time, they weren't looking at the fish. They said, skip the fish. This guy says, let there be. He speaks fish. He said, and the fish came. He'll speak to any need in your life. I don't need this greatest catch of my life. I can give that to somebody else. I'm going to follow the one who says, let there be. I'm going to follow the one who in every experience of my life will loose and manifest the blessing of God. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a year of exponential blessing. This is going to be a year, bang, where you're going to be asked to put some mundane nonsense aside. Oh, Lord Jesus, I hate it when you do that. But you know, you're going to love it. There's nothing more fun than being engaged in the purpose of God. And God's putting a claim on us as a fellowship. There are people out there who are desperate for life, desperate to experience God. And they're crying out right now for more. And God is asking us, will you allow me today to enlarge your capacity to let an incredible flow of my life and power flow from you? Will you? I'm going to ask you to stand up. I had so many other things to say, but that's all right. I'll put them all online. You can take a look at them, you know, but it's okay. And I'll tell you, one of the things is you got to forget about empty nets. And if you've been living your life and there's no manifestation, forget it. Forget about, oh, I've tried before, Pastor. I've expected great things before. Don't get me stirred up again. I'll just get annoyed. Forget it. Forget the former things. Don't even think about it. Because behold, I do a new thing, says the Lord. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? So we're talking about capacity today. Who believes God takes you to better? Who believes of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end? No end. The increase of his government and peace is going to end in 2022. No, of the increase of his government and peace, every day he loads us with blessings. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Daily he loads us with benefits. It's time for us to say, let my capacity be enlarged. Let my capacity be stretched. I don't want to be a garden hose, Lord. I want to be a fire hose of your glory. I don't want to be a little light that illuminates parked cars. I want to be a laser beam of your glory that cuts through the kingdom of darkness and looses people. So I'm asking you today, Father, and I'm lifting up. Let's lift up our hands. Because you know why? Because you're under arrest. Father, we do feel arrested. I feel arrested. And I feel a responsibility to speak to the people, and I'm so graced to serve. I'm so graced to serve these people. Look at how wonderful they are. I can't believe it. But Lord, I'm so graced to serve them, but I must serve them. And I must serve them with the present day word, what you're saying right now. And the Lord is saying to you, let me stretch your capacity. Let me open your heart. Let me open your heart. And this is going to be joyful. It's going to be wonderful because the people around you are going to experience the kingdom of glory. And everywhere you go, wherever your feet go, you're going to loose the glory and goodness of God. You're going to see results like never before. Because I am the Lord your God. And I am the Lord your God who calls you to live the abundance. I did not come so that you could be average, so that you could just get by. I came so that you could live in the more abundantly of the life of God. And so, Father, we today, here we are, me and these wonderful dear people that I get to serve. We lift up our hearts to you. We ask you to stretch us. We ask you to deliver us from empty nets. Deliver us, Lord, from frustrations. Deliver us from past disappointments. And we just freshly ask you to baptize our hearts in a fresh way. We freshly consecrate our lives to you for 2024. And we say, Lord Jesus, whatever you like, just birth in me a fresh love for the people around me. birth in me a flesh compassion for those that are broken and in need. And Lord, break off fear in Jesus' name and loosen me a spirit of faith that has an expectation that when I speak your word, it will be honored. When I speak your word, you will watch over it and perform it. You said Samuel was a prophet, but you said the least in the kingdom is greater. You said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet, but you said the least in the kingdom is greater. So Lord, here I am, a prophet, ready to declare and speak your words to a broken world. So I pray for my capacity to be stretched, and I loose your goodness and your glory in every circumstance. 2024, we're going to roar. We're going to see more and more. We're going to see many, many people come through the door, and we're going to score big time. And the Leafs will win the cup. Oops! I was in the spirit for a minute, right there. But Lord, we really are trusting and believing for you. That's one of my little side wishes, Father. Just, I know it's mundane, but you said ask whatever. So, whatever. I love you, Lord. Bob loves you. And all Leafs fans say amen. All right.